Good evening, dear ones, or good morning, depending on where you are in the world. Welcome to our midweek church service on this 13th day of September, 2017. Welcome to those on the phone, those listening to the recording. And what a wonderful God we have the privilege to know, to serve, and to love. And praise God that we're a day closer to seeing Him as He is. What a wonderful time that will be. So welcome, dear ones, and our opening song for this evening is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him, Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him, Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail Him who saves you by His grace and crown Him, Lord of all. Hail Him who saves you by His
Let every kindred, every tribe, on this terrestrial ball, to Him all majesty ascribe, and crown Him Lord of all. To Him all majesty ascribe, and crown Him Lord of all.
Oh, that with yonder angel throng we at His feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all. We will join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all. And what an honor it will be to take off the crowns from our brow and put them at the feet of our Savior, recognizing Him as the only one worthy to be crowned Lord of all. I tell you, dear ones, heaven's looking better all the time, especially with the increase of catastrophes and rumors of wars and conflagrations and everything else. This world is definitely not our home. And praise God for a better one, even and heavenly. It's time for opening prayer. And would a dear brother or sister here like to offer that? Please go right ahead.
Kind Heavenly Father, I thank You so much. And thank You for the opportunity to just say thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your merciful kindness towards us. Thank You for being in the midst. Thank You for all the brethren praying and all those here. Lord, You see all those that are still with all the mountains that they are facing. You know each thing. You know each one, each trial that we all are going through. Thank You, Lord. I praise You because You alone are worthy. Thank You for the opportunity to praise You yet one more time. Thank you, dear Lord, for everyone here. Please be with Elder Rob as he presents your word this evening. Thank you so much, dear Savior, for your blessings, seen and unseen, for your protection, for your hedge of protection. Please be with all those still suffering in a mighty way through all the different tragedies that are happening right now, not just in Florida here, but around the world. Thank you for those, especially on the front lines, that are ministering to others with your word, dear Lord. Specifically remembering Elder Rob and Brother Jane, Sister Lucy, Sister Rose, you see them all, dear Lord. Please be with them. I thank you so much for your blessings, seen and unseen. Thank you again, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. And praise God especially for allowing you to be with us, dear sister. We have been keeping you and our dear sister Susan in prayer. Also, brother and sister Marks. I'm not sure if you know them, but they're also in the Florida area. And praise God that you were indeed protected by His wings. We're continuing in Acts chapter 2. And we left off at verse 22. And the last thing we were discussing was the Holy Spirit giving each of the 120 disciples that were there in the upper room the gift of tongues to be able to speak in a language which they did not know how to speak beforehand, but we're now able to speak it fluently, the right grammatical tone and text and syntax, the right emphasis on words that the 16 or so different language groups that were there for the celebration of the feast were able to understand perfectly. And Peter was taking the lead here and was letting them know that this was a miracle from on high, that it wasn't because they were drunk, seeing it was only 9 in the morning, and that this had been prophesied to occur in the last days. Now, it's interesting. Peter was quoting scripture that showed that the Spirit would be poured out and mighty miracles would be performed among the followers of the Lord in the last days. And he was using that text to justify what was taking place at that time. Now, that was 2,000 years ago. And it was considered part of the miracles of the last days. So it's not just us in these very last moments of time that are looking for the coming of the Lord, but so were all the apostles and disciples and followers of Christ at that time. And Christ gave a parable that talked about a servant was to continually be watching for their master's return so that they could be among the first to do his bidding, and that if they should become lax and careless and no longer have an interest to watch for the master, then the master would come suddenly, catch them sleeping, and would discharge them of their responsibilities, no longer in his service. And that was to the disciples back then, as well as to us today. So Peter said, "Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And now we pick it up at verse 22. Peter continues, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now, Caiaphas and Annas and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were not among these people that were gathered there. But yet Peter said that they, the people listening to him, were guilty of taking the Lord by wicked hands and crucifying him. Well, how could that be? It was the priests and the church leaders that were among those that condemned Christ, turned him over to Rome. Rome turned him back over to them, and they crucified him. So how could these people that were there be guilty of crucifying the Lord? And there were some 5,000 people, or 3,000 people at least, there listening. A comment in the room says, by association, like they were in agreement. Definitely by association. Amen. Unbelief and corporate responsibility. Amen indeed. So even though it was the church leaders that were very determined and rigged the judgment against Christ, doing every underhanded thing that they could to crucify him, and the majority of the people were innocent of joining along with the priests and the rabbis, yet, because the people were connected with, associated with, and members of the Jewish church, by that connection, they became guilty of the same sins that their leaders committed. So a nation's sin and a nation's ruin were due to the religious leaders. But everybody in that nation were ruined by being connected with those leaders. So because the priests and the rabbis crucified Christ, all the members underneath them were corporately responsible for that sin of crucifying Christ. That's quite a revelation. Can you imagine being in that crowd, hearing different things about Jesus, and maybe having friends or relatives that were healed by him, but yet you had not yet fully made your decision, your mind up on whether to accept him or not? And to hear that he was crucified, and then to show up at this gathering here, you know, what was it, 50 days later when Pentecost came, to show up at this gathering and then be told that you were guilty of crucifying Christ. That must have startled them. It brought conviction to their hearts, because the Spirit was not just poured out upon the apostles and disciples. It was being poured out upon the people listening to the doctrine that centered in Christ Jesus. So the Spirit is right there, pricking their hearts, opening their understanding, encouraging them to embrace the truth. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain Jesus. Continuing. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So now they're not only convicted that because the church leaders took Christ and crucified him with Rome's permission because they united under Caesar as their king. They're also told that Christ was resurrected from the grave. So if he's resurrected, he's no longer dead, but they still are guilty of crucifying him. So since he's alive, now there's hope that they can be forgiven for this guilt of crucifying him. And you have the Spirit right there, convicting them and seeking to convert them to the truth. We have a similar message today. Fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him. Babylon is fallen, all the wicked churches that you're connected with and are corporately responsible for their sins. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. My people, go ye out of the midst of her. Very same message, just in different ways of presenting it. But Christ is the center of the message. And the Holy Spirit is on hand in latter rain power this time to bring conviction and conversion. And would someone like to read the next three verses?
For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Amen.
Amen. So David, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, saw these verses pertaining to Christ, that his Father was always before him, at his right hand, keeping him from stumbling into sin. And that made the heart of Christ joyful, his tongue happy, and also he had hope, because he knew that his Father would not leave him in the grave or suffer him to remain there long enough for his body to decay. That's what it means to see corruption. Now, Lazarus was 4 days in the grave, and his body had already begun to stink after the second day. So after 48 hours, there's no possible way to prevent the body from decaying, seeing corruption. So those who believe that Christ was crucified Wednesday and then resurrected Sunday morning, that's Wednesday to Thursday is 1 day, Thursday to Friday is 2 days, Friday to Saturday is 3 days, and they sort of fudge on half a day. So more than 2 days in the grave, more than 48 hours in the tomb, Christ's body would have seen decay. It would have seen corruption. So there's no way possible that Christ died Wednesday and resurrected Sunday, because then this passage here would not be correct. The prophecy concerning Christ's human body would have failed. So we know, amen, God's word is always true. So we know just from this passage that Christ could not have been 48 hours in the tomb. He had to be less than 48 hours. So then when Christ says that as Job was in the belly of the whale 3 days, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days. That can't be 72 hours. But when you look at how the Jews held time, a part of a day was counted as a day. So then Christ, according, if you look up all four Gospels, you'll find out that Christ was crucified on the preparation day, the day before the Sabbath, which we know to be Friday. He died around 3 p.m. on Friday, was laid in the tomb just before sundown on Friday. So then he was in the tomb Friday evening, all day Sabbath, and resurrected early Sunday morning before the sun was up. That's less than 48 hours. That's just a little more than 24 hours. So 3 p.m. Friday, 3 p.m. Saturday is 24 hours, and then he was resurrected early Sunday morning. So say 6 hours on top of that. So he was in the tomb about 30 hours. That's not enough time for the body to begin to decay or to see corruption. So it fulfilled this prophecy. God would allow Christ to resurrect before his body saw decay. Amen. It is plain statements. You can't controvert it. All you can try to do is to come up with your own ideas about it. But everything, including our own ideas and assumptions, are to be tested to the law and to the testimony, to the Bible and to the spirit of prophecy. If it doesn't agree with every bit of God's inspired word, then there's no light in it. Question is, how long does it take for rigor mortis to set in? I'm not sure. I know it's several hours, and then rigor mortis set in.
I was just thinking of the biblical day, the evening and the morning were the first day. What constitutes the evening and what constitutes the morning? What hours?
Well, the evening's at sunset, because in Leviticus it talks about you shall celebrate your Sabbath from even to even. And even is at the point of transition between daylight and night, or night and daylight. That's what even means. So from evening to evening, so celebrate your Sabbath. So sunset to sunset. And it's interesting that the Babylonians rejected starting their day at sundown, and they chose to start their day at sunrise in honor of the sun. So it just completely opposite of God's method of reckoning, God's method of worship, God's established Sabbath day of rest, God's religion. Babylon is exactly the opposite. It's quite amazing. So the evening and the morning were the first day. The nighttime came first, and then the daylight came next, and that represented 24 hours. So Christ dying Friday afternoon when it was still light represented the day of Friday. Christ resting in the tomb all day Sabbath and then resurrecting Sunday morning before it was light. So the nighttime of Sunday, that was 3 days. Okay, according to Wikipedia, between 2 to 6 hours, rigor mortis sets in, starts with the eyelids, the neck, the jaw. Does it say how long it lasts? I'm not sure how many hours it lasts until the body starts to. 72 hours? So I guess then when rigor mortis relaxes, it's because corruption has been seen. The body begins to decay. Oh, okay. Well, thank you for that. I did not know that little bit of information. Verse 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. David, again, is under inspiration of what Christ was going to, the prophecy regarding Christ. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. So Christ was so full of joy because he knew that God was with him, that God was his protector, that nothing was going to happen that God had not prepared for and would lead and guide Christ through. Christ also knew that as long as he was following in the ways of the Lord, the ways of his Father, that his Father would not leave him in the tomb, but would raise him back up before his body saw decay. And what also made Christ full of joy is that God opened his understanding to the ways of life. Isn't this to be our experience? Are we joyful that God is at our right hand, that God is our divine protector, that there's nothing that's going to happen without God's permissive will for our best interest? Are we singing his praises because we know that if we should see death, that he's not going to leave us in the tomb, but will raise us back up? Now, we'll have to see corruption. Our bodies may decay to where there's nothing left but dirt, but ashes. Yet we know that because he raised Christ up from the tomb, so then we will also be raised from the tomb. And because God has opened our understanding to the ways of life, we should be among the most happiest of people. If God is for us, who can possibly be against us? Who can possibly make us sad, fearful? They may destroy our body, but they can't prevent us from obtaining salvation because our God has promised that those who call on the name of the Lord, those who accept his character as their own, shall be saved. praise God from whom all blessings flow. Christ is our assurance that if we should die, we're not going to be left there. At the right time, we will be resurrected. Never more to see death. Praise God indeed. A comment in the room, it says, meat is considered more tender after rigor mortis. Can you imagine you're eating decaying meat? And that does not sound appetizing. Another comment, it says, thinking about Lazarus and the fact that Jesus waited for a while to raise him from the dead, was he waiting for the absence of rigor mortis? Perhaps. Because it had been 4 days by the time Christ got there. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. That's more than 72 hours, so rigor mortis had already relaxed. And we know that that was on purpose, because Christ said, I'm glad for your sakes that he is dead, so that you might believe in me. So Christ purposely waited for Lazarus to be dead that long before he came and resurrected him. And that right there gives each and every one of us hope as well. Because Christ is the resurrection and the life. So even if our body has seen corruption, corruption all the way down to where there's nothing left but ashes, like with Adam, with Abel, yet, dying in Christ as they did, they have hope that when the Lord comes the second time, they will be raised in the first resurrection to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall they, as well as all the rest of the redeemed, be forever with the Lord. So amen, dear sister. That's an excellent point. And thank you for that. Are there any other comments? Any other thoughts? Any questions? Please feel free. So praise God, we're a day closer to Christ's return. And oh, happy day that will be. Well, next time we'll pick it up at verse 29, and let us go ahead and open it up now to a season of prayer. And whoever would like to begin, please go right ahead.
Just a couple of words before we talk to the Lord. I just wanted to praise God for the miracles that he worked during the hurricane in Florida. The news media called it strange happenings, but when the hurricane sucked the floodwaters out of Tampa Bay at a crucial time, so when the high tide came back in, it wasn't really overloaded. And then I believe it's the James River on the other side, where the mouth of the river flows into the ocean, the wind changed and it blew that extra water out into the ocean, which would have been, make it at high tide, which saved a lot of flooding. And the news media brought that up, but they called it a strange happening. We know that God is the master of the wind and the waves. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much that you interfere, so to speak, in our lives in ways that make us think about you. And we really do appreciate that, even though our blessings sometimes are a little painful. They're still blessings, because whatever awakens our heart to your love is a miracle. Forgive us when we don't recognize it and we complain about our situation. We know that you're the rock. You're the one that saves us. And thank you so much for doing that. Be with our brothers and sisters involved in various activities to spread your word. Give them the strength and the courage they need and the patience. Forgive us where we've failed you, and help us to always look up with joy and peace in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Loving Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of meeting up with brothers and sisters and for the fantastic, miraculous news regarding the protection and, as much as it, the destruction that the hurricane has presented to us, just so it feels like a constant reminder of just a taste of what will have to come to those who reject the spirit of your grace on a worldwide scale. And we're so glad to hear that Sister Lynn, Sister Susan, the Marks, and any other brothers and sisters we don't either know by name or face have had a marvelous barrier around them. Just like you've created a barrier within us to not want to follow the old life, the direction that the world can only go, whose master we are well acquainted with, thanks to Holy Writ. Thank you for the truths of the resurrection, Jesus. If there was no resurrection, there truly would be no reason for even living right when we would see the end. It would still be right to live right, but there would be no hope beyond the grave. There would be no tongue to praise the everlasting one and his Son and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for whispering to our ear and telling us what to do so we can stay on the straight and narrow path. I also want to thank you for blessing results Sister Lucy received this week, sharing it with brothers and sisters in prayer as well, that a certain test that she had that could have been detrimental to her health turned out to be negative. We love when we get that kind of news. And even if it's not that kind of news in the future, that we can still do something. We still have a mind. We don't have to take what men or women say as the last word in the case. No matter how much they might want to impress it upon you, because life doesn't end with them. And I'm so glad we have a definition of life. It comes from a giver and not from something dead or something that doesn't exist. I also want to thank you for the privilege of hearing from brethren in Australia on the good news that they've shared about certain peculiar successes to them. I pray that there'll be much more, and so we can have a lot more to share with one another, even if they're great trials, that we would make it one another's, as if it were our own, that Spirit, you would give us of Jesus' love to make others' trials our own, so that we can use all the abilities, God-given abilities you've given us, to work with it if indeed it was personally alone our problem. And thank you for doing this. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part of this great work that is yet to be accomplished in the earth. Thank you for showing us the present truth in both the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy, making it clearer and clearer, and not just a review, but making it clearer to our understanding as we read regularly to find the reasons for our faith and be more certain upon it, especially because individuals do ask regarding it, what we're basing it upon. We pray to be sharper, but all the while meek and lowly like you, Jesus, that people will be one based on your characteristics and the truth that is as it is in you and not something else. Thank you for listening to the private prayers of brothers and sisters, private requests that you know before they were uttered in the heart and from the mouth. Thank you for seeing to it that you know what our expected end is, and that you'll do even more than we ask or think if we're in Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Dear Savior, once again I just wanted to say thank you, Lord. Truly I cannot praise you enough. There are no words to tell of your merciful kindness to a wretched sinner like me. I plead forgiveness for every sin known and unknown, dear Lord. And as the dear brethren have each represented their petitions and requests, thank you for answering in accordance to your will, dear Lord. We know that it is your will that we be saved and that we would claim Acts 2:22 because you said, everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we call on you, dear Lord, to please save us all. Each of our family members we present before thee. You know each one by name, dear Lord. You know any ailments that we have or our loved ones would have. Thank you for letting dear Sister Lucy's results not be positive and continue to keep her. Thank you so much for being with Brother Vic and Sister Ida and Janelle that are in the area with the fires, that you would put your hedge of protection around them. Again, Lord, we lift up those on the front lines. Remembering as well Brother Joel and Sister Petwa and the wonderful work that they're doing there in Africa, as well as our brethren in South America, Brother Gadai and family. Please be with them as well. Dear Elder Rob, Sister Michelle, as they work on the front lines here in the United States, and all of the other brethren that you know by name, dear Lord, Sister Rose, and all of the other family members that we call family members that are working in your vineyard. And any little thing that I may do, Lord, bless my feeble efforts, I pray. Please be with each one as they continue now during the rest of their day, if they're in the daylight hours where they are in the world, or the evening to have a better rest this evening. And thank you, Lord, for letting power come back to those of us here that had lost power. Please be with those that are continuing without power and are facing flooding right now. You see all the requests spoken and unspoken. And I just thank you, Lord, and praise you for your goodness and for your mercy. And until by your grace we meet again, I say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I want to praise your name for being a God that's close at hand and not far off. Thank you for thy divine protection and watchful care over thy people. Thank you and praise thy name for protecting Sister Lynn's home, even though there was damage all around. And I pray, dear Father, that people will be curious and will want to know why, and thus give Sister Lynn a wide open door to witness thee to the people and to uplift the Savior to them. Thank you so much that we're a day closer to heaven. We know things are going to get worse on the earth. It's going to have to get a lot worse before the entire nation of America pushes forth the enforcement of Sunday legislation and leads the world to do the same. But we thank you for the times of peace and tranquility. And thank you for the extra time to get ourselves ready and prepared to meet our Lord. Thank you so much for thy merciful kindness and for doing everything possible to seek and to save the lost. And thank you for allowing us to be co-laborers with thee in this great endeavor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Just one more little testimony, if I might, dear brethren. And it was the day that we were having to, we were under, what you call it, mandatory evacuation this past Sabbath. And as we were preparing and coming out and putting things in the car, what have you, my very next door neighbor was almost to tears in the fear that she had. And I gave her a hug and I said, but you know that there is one, as I pointed to the sky, that knows above and knows and is over all. And he is protecting us. I'm not saying that I'm not fearful, but that we can trust that he knows and what is for our best good, and he will protect and keep us. And interestingly enough, her mobile as well was not touched. And I praise the Lord for that. I have given her literature. I don't take any praise to myself, but I thank the Lord. And as you have said, dear Elder Rob, to be able to have this as a witness, and that the door will be open to be able to do more. And my brother Weston also was a witness, even though he may not see it as such, but it was, because he gave a hand to the neighbor in front of us who had a lot of destruction by going and helping them to get materials for their mobile, and then cleaned out the gutters for this neighbor next to us, our gutters, and cleaned up the debris from all the trees and everything down, and still had to be to work the next day by 4 a.m. So I see how the Lord is moving. I see how his heart is being changed. And I say thank you for continuing to keep him in prayer. Thank you for opening the door to his heart. I also thank you for keeping my mom in prayer. She had a little bit of illness after the whole situation, and by God's grace, she's feeling a little better now. So all of these things I praise the Lord for, because we don't know what the next anything is going to bring, but it is always good to give God praise. And I found it so interesting that the very day that was going to be the hottest so far through all of this, and to have been without power tonight would have been extremely, extremely miserable. It was already miserable to be without electricity and things like that, and hot as blazes here. But tonight, if it had continued, it would have been insufferable. So I praise the Lord for that. And interestingly enough, that it was on prayer meeting night. So by God's grace, to be able to be here and to give him the praise and to say, thank you, Lord, I recognize these mercies that you have given, and especially to me, unworthy as I am. So I thank him again and praise him just for his goodness. And I just wanted to say that. And I know dear Sister Susan would have wanted to as well. And she had a lot to deal with as well, you know, her little place in the woods, as she calls it. And it's a humble place, and yet it's a beautiful place, you know, with her garden and her little family of dogs and things. And so I praise the Lord that she as well was brought through. And we thank the Lord that even without the power, we had water. Because what if it was that we didn't have water as far as to be able to flush toilets or even to bathe? So I praise the Lord for everything. And if I'm not remembering anything, I just say, Lord, thank you for unseen mercies. And thank you again, dear brethren, for your prayers towards us, as I know my family and I continue to keep you in prayer as well.
Well, praise the Lord indeed, dear sister, and we'll continue to keep you in prayer until everything is back to what it was before the hurricane came in. And thank you so much for your prayers for us as well. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever may betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade. On the burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim band. A shelter in the time of storm.
A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, faithful guide, pilgrim band, faithful guide in the pilgrim's land, a shelter in the time of storm.
The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim man, a shelter in the time of storm.
O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim band. A shelter in the time of storm.
Amen. That was beautiful indeed. And praise our God for being a shelter at all times. Dear ones, are there anything else that you'd like to share? Any other testimonies, songs, comments, thoughts, questions? Before we close tonight's service, please go right ahead.
There is one thing. Lucy and I tried something different to witness last Sabbath. We went to a Sabbath observing church, a Seventh-day Adventist church down the hill. And at first I thought I'd like to just be at the door to give out the literature, which had Identifying an Escaping Laodicea booklet, and then on the other side I stapled a flyer that's basically the free literature website, and the pictures of some of the books that are available, sort of as to encourage them to see it as a service to Seventh-day Adventists, and not alone the booklet that's free as well that comes with it, one of the libraries. So I actually was impressed not to actually go at the door, because I said to Sister Lucy, the likelihood is someone's going to stop and want to talk, and I'm going to miss everyone that comes out, and usually most don't come out at the same door at the same time. So I just put it on the cars. It only took 3 minutes. It was all over with. It took 40 minutes to get there. So Sunday came, and it was going to rain, so we didn't go to the swap meet, but I did go to the local churches. So we went to a local church, and while they were having their worship, I was putting it on their cars, the 500 years after Luther. And then I went to the Catholic church. Oh dear, they don't have it at the same time, so that was a bit unfortunate. It was just down the road from the first place. And then I thought, well, we'll go to other ones, because they're not so far. And I got caught in the middle in the act. Someone said hello, and he was nicely dressed. And I said, hi, mate, and I kept going. And when I got to him, I told him what I was doing. We held conversation for 45 minutes. I was afraid he was going to not let me do the rest of the cars. So I believe the Lord gave me words to convince him I should be able to, even though he didn't agree with, as he quickly flung through. He said, oh, they're strong believers in the Bible. So that's fantastic. I can't wait to hear from them and tell me what I'm doing wrong. So I haven't heard from anyone yet, but he let me do them. And then he had another church right next door, and it did the same. And he came out quicker, the pastor of the church. He held us back, and he told me what you're up to. And he said they're all kind. They didn't say, you know, get lost or et cetera. But once I told them what I was doing, they were subdued, and this last fellow even took some booklets in. He said, I'll let the people decide if they want to take it. So that was good. Yeah, I hope he didn't chuck it in the bin. I have no reason to think he did, but, yeah, so of course I said to Sister Lucy, I'll have to make this a regular event, Luce. And so Sabbath observing churches, which will do Sabbath, two churches are very close by one another. Yeah, yes, Elder Bob, I think I could appreciate that. I guess I'm going to find out if that's a bit like that here. Australia is very much like America, and I'm grateful that I'm sure there's the Holy Spirit stopping people from doing anything, stopping me immediately, telling me off, and perhaps even telling me to take the booklets back, because that's what I was concerned about. So next week, or this Sabbath, we're going to two Seventh-day Adventist churches, and hopefully there's a lot more cars. And then Sunday are going to go to Sunday observing churches, and I wonder even extend it further. I praise God I've got most of my teeth. We want to actually expand as well. I said to Lucy, if only there was a website that actually tells you when all the special meetings are on. Because imagine, like, you've got the Seventh-day Adventist camp meeting. We have the Keswick Convention. There are other conventions I'm sure I just don't know about that I could find out. And, you know, my point is there's like hundreds, if not more than 1,000 cars. And I said, that's a day out, Luce. You know, I will need your help then. you go to the left, I'll go to the right sort of thing. And that would be fantastic. You know, just get out as much as possible. I'm not sure why I haven't been doing this earlier. Perhaps it was the idea was I was just going to give a tract, but I thought, well, even though it costs more, who knows? Maybe just one soul will see the truth and go, I'm so glad you did that, Brother James, that day. I said, well, I'm so glad God told me about the truth, wanted to give it to you. And let's rejoice in the truth together. Thank you for your prayers and your comments.
Well, praise the Lord, dear brother. That's fantastic that you were able to pass out so many materials and even had permission to do so from those that were guarding the flock. That's definitely the Spirit working upon their heart That's somewhat rare here in the States, but praise God indeed for holding back the barriers and allowing the straight and narrow path of truth to be freely given. And we'll indeed be keeping the recipients in prayers. In fact, let's bow our heads now and hold them up to the Lord. And dear precious Father in heaven, as Lord of the harvest, we pray that you will indeed pour your Spirit out in rich early and latter rain power, so that the seeds of truth that were scattered by our dear brother and sister will be moistened and sprout, and the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, will warm their hearts and allow the seed to germinate and produce a new child in the image of God. We pray, dear Father, that you will prevent the devil from snatching away the seeds of truth or causing the materials to be lost, misplaced, or destroyed. And we claim the promise that your word will not return void, but will accomplish the purpose for which it was given. And thank you so much for hearing and answering that promise, and for allowing an abundant harvest to take place. Please continue to keep the doors open, that many more materials may be able to be spread as the leaves of autumn, and many more hearts prepared as well as awakened to the present truth. Thank you so much for your divine protection for them and all of your workers around the world and all of the members of your churches, the followers of Christ. And thank you for blessing and multiplying our efforts, that indeed an abundant harvest may quickly occur to your glory and enlarging of your kingdom. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So praise the Lord, dear brother and sister, and we'll continue to uphold precious individuals that receive the truth, and we'll pray that you hear from at least one of them a positive response. So amen. Well, dear ones, thank you for a wonderful service. Keep close to God. Keep moving forward in His grace and strength. And again, praise the Lord, dear Sister Lynn, and please give a brotherly and sisterly hug to your precious mother. And looking forward to fellowshipping with you both, as well as all the rest of our dear church family. So until we meet again, may God bless you. And I'd like to leave you with a scripture song dealing with evangelism. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Isaiah 43:10. May God bless.